Chapter 20. The men took a step toward us.
Not going anywhere? Why not? I stammered.
Because this is the end of the path, one of the men said.
He smiled. A gold tooth gleamed in his mouth.
You can't go any farther.
I stared at them. They were probably in their 20s. They both had short, light brown hair and dark eyes. Their faces were tanned. The one with the gold tooth was tall and lanky, about a foot taller than the other. They wore khaki cargo pants and striped polo shirts. They had brown leather camera cases strapped around their necks.
You don't look like pirates, I said.
They squinted at us.
Pirates? We're photographers, the shorter one said.
He pulled a fat orange bug off my shoulder. I jumped back.
Careful, I whispered to Sheena. This could be a trap.
They overheard me.
What kind of trap? The tall one asked.
The pirates, they're chasing us,
Sheena said, glancing back along the path. The tall one smiled again, his gold tooth glowing.
Is this some kind of kid's game?
No, I said, it's real.
Real pirates? You're joking. Tell us the truth, he said.
How do we know we can trust you? Sheena demanded. Who are you? What are you doing here at the end of the path?
Calm down, the tall one said. I told you we're photographers. We are shooting little-known Caribbean islands.
My name is Roger Baldry, his partner said, and this is Goldie Monroe. That's not his real name, but everyone calls him Goldie, you know, because of the tooth.
Goldie grinned to show it off. On the other side of the trees, I heard low voices. I grabbed Sheena.
We can't stay here. They're coming.
I don't know who's chasing you, but you can follow me, Goldie said.
He turned and started to push his way through the tall ferns. Roger pulled a blue baseball cap from one of his pockets. He placed it on his head and followed his friend. Sheena and I held back. Could we trust these men? Did we have a choice? I followed them into the trees. The sun was setting. The ground grew swampy, and I kept staring into the sand on the lookout for more snakes. Sweat poured down my forehead. My clothes were drenched. We stepped out onto the beach. I took a deep breath of the cool ocean air. I wiped my face with the sleeve of my t-shirt. Roger and Goldie led us to a wall of gray rocks near the shore. Behind the rocks, I saw a small white motorboat bobbing in the water. Sheena and I leaned against the rocks, catching our breath. I peered around the side. No sign of the pirates.
What are you two kids doing here?
Roger asked, mopping his face with a red handkerchief.
Who brought you to this island?
Our uncle, I said. I mean, he didn't bring us. He disappeared. We thought maybe...
Goldie squinted at me.
Your uncle disappeared? Were you on a boat?
A mini-sub, I said, but it stalled out. The pirates woke up. They came after us. I mean, they followed us here.
Goldie put his hands on my shoulders.
Take a breath, kid. Get some oxygen to your brain. You're not making any sense.
Yes, he is, Sheena declared. Our uncle disappeared from our sub. Billy and I had to swim here, but we woke up Captain Ben's dead pirates. They followed us here, and...
Roger's eyebrows went up. His mouth dropped open.
Captain Ben? You mean Long Ben One Leg?
Yes, of course, Sheena snapped. His men captured us down the beach, she pointed.
Captain Ben was there, I said, with our uncle. He said we couldn't have Dr. D back until we gave him what belongs to him. He wants his treasure. Roger and Goldie studied us in silence.
You're not making this up?
Roger asked. I shook my head.
No way.
Then, Goldie murmured, rubbing his chin,
then the legend is true.
Yes, Sheena said impatiently. That's what we're trying to tell you.
Do you have it? Goldie asked. Do you have his treasure?
No, I said. We found Captain Ben's ship. We found the Scarlet Skull, but we didn't see any treasure.
The two men looked excited. Roger's face reddened. Goldie studied us intently.
The pirate ship. Where is it?
He asked. It's sunk offshore, I said, tilted almost on its side, on the bottom of the ocean. Goldie squinted at us.
Did you really find that old wreck? People have been looking for it for over 200 years.
Roger gripped my shoulders.
Do you think you could find it again? He asked.
They were both breathing hard. I could see their chests heaving up and down. Roger's face was bright red. That made me suspicious. Maybe Sheena and I had told them too much.
Are you after the treasure? I asked.
Before they could answer, I heard a clatter above us on the rocks. I looked up in time to see two skeleton pirates come leaping down. Their long, tattered coats flew up behind them as they sailed down on us. They raised rusted swords. I grabbed Sheena and yanked her back. We fell onto our butts on the sand. The two dead pirates landed on their feet in front of Roger and Goldie. They swung their jagged swords at the two men and sliced off their heads.
Chapter 21.
No. I blinked hard. Terror can make you see crazy things. Roger and Goldie still had their heads. The two pirates swung their rusted swords again. Again, Roger and Goldie ducked, and the blades whistled inches over their heads. Then, the two men dove at the pirates, grabbed them around their waists, raised them high in the air, and heaved them into the rocks. The pirates didn't utter a sound as their bodies fell apart. I watched the skulls fly off, the ribs separate, the leg bones roll away. Roger and Goldie bumped knuckles. Roger picked up his baseball cap from the ground. Then they lifted Sheena and me to our feet.
We'd better hurry, Goldie said, gazing down at the two piles of bones. I bet more of these guys are on the way.
They turned and started to their boat.
Wait, I said, trotting after them. You didn't answer my question. Are you after Captain Ben's treasure?
They both shook their heads.
We don't want the treasure, Goldie said.
These waters belong to the government. That means the treasure does too, Roger said. There's no way we want that trouble.
Let the treasure stay at the bottom of the sea, Goldie said. If Roger and I can take pictures of the sunken ship, we could sell them for a fortune.
Goldie and I would be the most famous photographers in the world, Roger said.
They continued to the motorboat, which was rocking gently on the waves.
We have our diving equipment on board. Think you two can find the old sunken ship again?
Maybe, I said. It's right under our mini-sub.
Sheena frowned.
But that doesn't help us with our problems, she said. How do we rescue our Uncle George from the pirates?
Let's make a deal, Goldie said. You guide us to the Scarlet Skull. We'll haul the treasure chest onto our boat. We'll bring it back for you to give to Captain Ben.
Then we'll take the three of you wherever you want to go, Roger said. Deal?
They both stared at us, waiting for our answer.
What are we waiting for? I said. Let's go.
Goldie and Roger splashed into the water, holding their camera cases high. Sheena and I followed. We waded to the boat. The warm water lapped over our waists. Howls rang out from the beach. I turned and looked back. The pirates were coming after us, clambering into the water. They were shrieking like wild animals, swinging swords above their heads. Goldie and Roger reached the boat. They grabbed the deck railing and hoisted themselves inside. Sheena climbed in easily. I tossed my walking stick onto the deck. The motor started with a roar. I reached for the deck rail and missed. I tumbled face first into the water. The pirates' howls grew louder, closer. I floundered in fear, slapping at the water, struggling to stay on the surface. The motor churned up the waves, sending a spray high in the air. The spray washed over the charging pirates. Sputtering, I reached for the deck rail again. Caught it. I lifted myself, soaking wet, onto the deck. Bony hands shot up from the water, grabbed the deck rail. The pirates were climbing on board. The motor roared. The boat shot forward. We lifted off the water and zoomed away from the shore. I struggled to keep my balance. I turned to the deck rail and shuddered. Their bony hands were still gripping the rail.
Sheena, look!
I pointed to the hands, 8 or 9 pairs.
We didn't lose them. They're coming with us.
The boat lurched and tilted to the side. I went stumbling to the rail. I couldn't stop myself. I grabbed for the rail, and my fingers wrapped around the cold, clammy hand of a skeleton pirate. Unable to let go, I opened my mouth in a cry of horror. Chapter 22. Gripping the rail, I stared at the hands. Just hands, no arms attached or bodies. The bony fingers clung to the rail, taking a sea ride with us. The arms and bodies, detached now, floated and bobbed in our wake. Sheena pulled me away from the side.
"Billy, sit down," she said. "You're drenched and you're shaking. You look totally wrecked."
I sat down and hugged myself.
"I'm okay," I said weakly. "It's just those hands."
I shivered.
"Cheer up," Sheena said. "Roger and Goldie are going to help us. We'll get the treasure to Captain Ben, he'll set Dr. D free, and they'll take us to the Cassandra."
I forced a smile to my face.
"Sounds like a plan," I told Sheena. And then I gasped. One of the skeleton hands was gripping my ankle.
Sheena pulled it off and tossed it into the water. The boat rocked and tossed as it pushed through the waves. The evening sun sent stripes of deep red through the water. It would soon be dark. Goldie carried a couple of long duffel bags from the cabin.
"The Scarlet Skull can't be far from here," Sheena said. "Billy and I swam to shore from the sub."
Goldie heaved the two bags to the stern.
"One is our diving gear," he said. "The other is our cameras. We'll find the ship first, then come back for our photo equipment."
He walked to the rail. He plucked the skeleton hands off, one by one, and tossed them in the sea. I climbed to my feet and watched Roger in the cabin. He stood behind the wheel, his cap pulled low over his eyes.
"There it is!"
Sheena's shout made me jump.
Yes, our tiny sub bounced in the dark waves just ahead of us. The yellow hatch gleamed in the dying sunlight.
"Time to dive," Goldie called to Roger. "Anchor the boat."
Roger came bolting out of the cabin.
"It's right down there?" he asked, pointing. "Captain One Leg's old ship?"
"Yes, it should be close," I said.
The two men pumped their fists in the air. They lowered the anchor over the stern. Then they pulled out scuba tanks and began tugging on wetsuits and fins. Goldie turned to Sheena and me. He flashed us a thumbs up.
"This is a great day," he said. "Roger and I are going to photograph that shipwreck and find the treasure so we can rescue your uncle."
We both returned the thumbs up. They flashed on the halogen beams on their masks. Then the two men dove over the side. They disappeared quickly into the black, rolling waters. Sheena and I leaned over the rail. We watched until the darkness swallowed them. Sheena shrugged.
"Nothing to do now but wait," she said. "You can wait. The undersea mutant must always be on the alert," I told her.
I turned and made my way into the cabin.
"I'll man the wheel till they get back," I decided.
I stepped behind the wheel. A high wave made the boat rock. I fell back and kicked one of their duffel bags. It flipped on its side and fell open.
Huh?
I stared in shock. Two small silver pistols tumbled out. No camera.
Weird, I muttered. I grabbed the other duffel bag and fumbled it open. Three pistols and a box of bullets. I had a heavy feeling in my stomach. My throat suddenly felt dry.
I ran back onto the deck. I hurried to the stern and lifted one of the big duffel bags.
"What's up?"
Sheena called, hurrying over to me. "Goldie said there was camera equipment in here," I said. I tugged the bag open and dumped the contents onto the deck. Rifles. Six or seven long-barreled rifles clattered at my feet. I let out a shuddering sigh.
"Sheena," I whispered, "those two men, they lied to us. They're not photographers."
Chapter 23. My legs suddenly felt weak. I grabbed the rail. I took a deep breath and held it. Sheena pressed her hands to her cheeks. She stared at the rifles on the deck.
"Billy, what are we going to do?"
I had an idea. "The radio," I said. "Maybe we can radio for help." I raced into the cabin. The radio stood on a shelf beside the wheel. I threw a switch. A few seconds later, loud static poured from the speaker. I lifted the microphone to my mouth.
"Can anyone hear me?" I shouted. "Hello? Can anyone hear this?"
I turned a few dials.
Hello? Can anyone hear me? Just static. Come on, work! Please work! I cried. I turned dials and threw switches. Billy, they're coming up! Sheena shouted from the deck. My breath caught in my throat. Who were these two liars? What did they really want? I ran across the deck. I stepped beside Sheena at the rail. Roger and Goldie bobbed to the surface. Water dripped down their masks. I leaned over the side and squinted into the darkness. Between them, they held a big black chest with a sparkling red jewel on the lid. Even against the night sky, the jewel glowed brightly. I could see it clearly, a glowing scarlet skull. They raised the chest high and hoisted it onto the deck. Then they lifted themselves onto the boat. They shook water off their wetsuits.
We found the treasure, Goldie said.
And we're keeping it, Roger added. It's ours.
He started to pull off his mask, but he froze when he saw the rifles strewn on the deck.
Uh-oh, he muttered. I see you two have been snooping in places you don't belong.
You lied to us, I cried.
Goldie shrugged. It's a tough world, kid.
He pulled up his diving mask. Sheena and I both let out cries. His face came off with the mask. We were staring at a grinning skull, a skull with a gold tooth hanging from its mouth. Roger pulled off his mask and tossed it onto the deck. His face didn't come off, but the skin came loose around his mouth. He tried to push it back into place.
Who are you? I stammered.
We were on the ship that watched the Scarlet Skull disappear in a black cloud, Goldie said.
Disappear with our treasure. Captain Ben stole it from us, Roger said. We dove into the water to get it back, but we never made it to the Scarlet Skull. That black cloud carried us away, and we've been lost till now, Roger said.
We're rich, Goldie said. After over 200 years of searching for this, it's ours again.
He tossed back his skull and uttered a dry laugh.
These outfits came in handy, Roger said. Goldie and I were so cold in our bare bones all these years. We stole the clothes from a couple of fishermen, and we took their boat, too.
A smile spread over his face.
Then we took their skin.
My stomach lurched. I had to force down my lunch. Sheena's mouth hung open. She tugged at her long hair.
You're really going to keep the treasure? She asked in a tiny voice.
Yes, and thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Goldie said. He gave us a two-fingered salute.
We owe you our gratitude, Roger said. And now, sadly, we must say goodbye to you both.
Goodbye? I cried. What do you mean? They didn't answer. Goldie just shrugged. Roger moved quickly. He lifted Sheena off the deck and tossed her overboard. Chapter 24. I heard the splash as she hit the water. The sound sent chills down my back.
You can't do that! I screamed.
I raised the driftwood stick and swung it at Roger with all my strength. Roger ducked. The stick grazed his back. It pulled off a big chunk of skin. With a grunt, he grasped me around the waist. I put up a pretty good struggle, but he was too strong. He shoved me against the rail, then flipped me into the sea. I hit the water hard on my stomach and went under. The cold sent a paralyzing shock over my body. Finally, I raised my arms and forced myself to the surface. Coughing and sputtering, I searched for my sister. I spotted her a few yards behind me. She was struggling to stay on top of the waves.
Help us! Sheena screamed to the two pirates. You can't let us drown here! Help us!
They turned their backs.
Help us! Sheena screamed. Don't leave us!
I frantically tried to keep afloat. I watched the two men. They were leaning over the treasure chest. I could see the scarlet skull glowing against the night sky. Roger reached down to open the chest. He was about to grab the scarlet jewel. The red skull glowed so brightly, I could see everything clear as day.
I saw Roger grab the skull. I heard Goldie scream, "No!" I saw Goldie try to tug Roger away. Too late. The red skull snapped open its jaws and bit Roger's hand. And as the jaws clamped down, a fireball of white light burst over the boat. So bright the sea lit up all around us. And a powerful red current, like red lightning, blazed over both men. For a second, their bodies lit up. I could see the bones under their skin. Trapped inside the crackling current, Roger and Goldie did a terrifying dance. Their arms flew wildly over their heads. Their whole bodies shook and shimmied. And then, their heads flew off their bodies, high into the fiery sky. Both men crumpled to the deck, twin piles of bone and ash. The buzzing, crackling red current faded to black. Sheena and I were alone in the sea now, thrashing our arms and legs, shivering in the cold. "Come on," I choked out. I swam to the boat, grabbed for the deck rail, and pulled myself on board. Shivering, I saw the driftwood stick on the cabin floor. I grasped it in both hands. I held it out to Sheena. She grabbed on, and I pulled her to the deck. We both sprawled on our backs, our chests heaving. I shut my eyes and waited for my breathing to return to normal. I sat up, blinking away water. Down the deck, the wind was blowing hard, carrying away the two pirates' ashes. My legs were shaky and sore, but I managed to stand up. "Sheena, maybe our luck is changing," I said. Before she could answer, a hard bump jolted the boat. Bang! Something hit us. Bang! Again. I lost my balance. I staggered and fell. Ow! My head smacked the deck. Another bump, even harder this time. And everything went black. Chapter 25.
"Billy, I don't believe it!" Sheena cried.
Her shout cleared my head. Shaking off the pain, dizzy, I climbed to my feet.
"Look!"
She pointed out to the water. I slowly turned and saw another boat bumping against us. I recognized it instantly. The Cassandra.
It must have come loose from its anchor, I said. It bumped right into us.
The Cassandra pulled alongside as if it had come to meet us. We both cheered.
"Sheena, help me carry the treasure chest onto the Cassandra," I said. "We'll return it to Captain Ben on the island, and he'll let Dr. D go."
We each grabbed a handle and began carefully sliding the chest across the deck.
"Be careful. Don't touch the scarlet skull," Sheena warned. "You saw what happens when the skull bites."
I shuddered. I pictured the two pirates doing their horrifying death dance inside the red streaks of electricity. I hoisted myself onto the Cassandra. I pulled and Sheena pushed. We shoved the chest onto the deck of the boat. Sheena hopped onto the Cassandra. We cheered and touched knuckles. It felt good to be home. We had the treasure with us. Now we just had to use it to rescue our uncle. I stepped into the cabin. I began to throw switches, powering up the controls. I pushed the ignition. The engine started up instantly. I grabbed the wheel. Of course I knew how to pilot the Cassandra. The undersea mutant can handle any boat on any sea. Besides, I didn't have to take it far. The island stood only a few minutes away. I eased the throttle forward. The boat began to move, cutting through the waves. I could see the island on the navigation screen. Piece of cake. Or was it? Suddenly, the boat began to rock. The wind howled around the cabin walls. Tall waves tossed up in front of us and pushed us back. Sheena burst into the cabin.
"Billy, what's happening?" she cried.
I kept my hands on the wheel. The boat tilted up hard, then crashed back down into the heaving waves.
"Why is the sea going crazy?" Sheena cried.
I didn't have to answer. We both saw it at the same time. An enormous ship rising up from under the water. Its sails billowed and stretched against the wind. Its prow rose and fell as it bounced on the waves. The ship came sailing straight at us. Sheena's eyes bulged.
Billy, it can't be. Do you recognize it? The ship. It's the Scarlet Skull.
It's going to crash right into us, I screamed. I whipped the wheel to the right as far as it would go. Too late. The Scarlet Skull rose up like a skyscraper in front of us. And standing at the bow, I saw Captain Ben. His long black coat flapped behind him in the wind.
Oh, wow, I don't believe it, I cried.
The pirate captain had his arm wrapped around Dr. D.
Dr. D, are you okay? I shouted.
Don't ask questions,
Captain Ben boomed down at us.
Do ye want your uncle returned? I'll give ye scurvy dogs one more chance to give me what is mine.
Okay, okay, I cried.
I shoved the treasure chest to the edge of the deck.
Here, take your treasure. We don't want it.
Above us, Captain Ben shook his head.
Give me what is mine,
he screamed.
Take the treasure. Take it, I shouted.
Captain Ben shook his head again. He raged his fists in the air.
I don't want the treasure. I want my leg.
Leg? He pointed furiously to the stick in my hand. Huh? I wasn't leaning on a long piece of driftwood. All this time, I'd been carrying around Captain Ben's leg. It was his leg he wanted returned. I raised the leg bone high. I pulled my arm back to toss it up to him. But Sheena held me back.
Captain Ben, she shouted, if we give you the leg, how do we know you'll return our uncle?
Captain Ben tossed back his head and laughed.
Return your uncle? Don't ye know what a notorious liar I am? I'll take my leg and my treasure, and then all three of ye will be joining me at the bottom of the sea.
Chapter 26. Not a chance, I thought. He'll never take us down with him. No zombie pirate can outsmart the undersea mutant. Suddenly, I knew what I had to do. The long leg bone trembled in my hand. I wrapped my fingers around it tightly. I remembered Dr. D's spearfishing lesson. I shut my eyes and repeated in my mind what I had learned. Balance, aim, power. I took a deep breath. I pulled the bone back like a fishing spear. I aimed carefully, and I heaved it up to the deck of the pirate ship.
Yay!
Captain Ben let out a ferocious howl as the bone smashed into his chest and pierced right through him. It was stuck inside him. The sharp end of the bone poked out his back. Captain Ben howled in agony. He grabbed the front of the bone with both hands and tried to pull it out of his chest.
Yay!
Another scream echoed off the water. He tugged so hard at the bone, he pulled himself overboard. Sheena and I hugged each other and watched him splash into the water. He slapped at the surface for a few seconds. Then he sank out of sight. He didn't come up. Suddenly, tall waves rocked our boat. The sea began to toss and swirl all around us.
Billy, look, Sheena cried. The Scarlet Skull, it's cracking apart.
Yes, the old ship began to crack and crumble. The sails fell apart, pieces flying away like a million feathers. The masts split and fell. The ship walls crumbled to sawdust and dropped into the sea. Within moments, not a trace of the ship remained.
Dr. D, I shouted. Dr. D, where are you?
Sheena gasped.
He went down with the ship. He's gone.
Chapter 27. I gripped the rail and stared out at the tossing waters.
Dr. D! Dr. D!
I shouted his name again and again. No sign of him. Sheena covered her face. Her shoulders trembled up and down. And then I saw a hand reach up to the deck. It grabbed the side of the boat. Another hand appeared beside it. I leaned down and helped Dr. D into the boat. He climbed to his feet quickly, shivering and shaking off water.
You're safe,
Sheena cried. We both rushed to hug him.
You're safe, you're safe.
No time, he muttered. We're not safe. He turned and watched the shredded sails sinking into the tossing waters. Let's get the treasure chest down below. We've got to get out of here. We pushed the chest to the lower cabin. Then Sheena and I jammed in beside Dr. D, and he started the Cassandra. Walls of water rose all around us. Our boat tilted up high, then slammed back to the surface. We have to find that black cloud, Dr. D said, gripping the wheel with both hands. He pushed the throttle forward as far as it would go.
The black cloud, I cried. You want to find it again?
When we went through it, we entered a dead zone, Dr. D explained. That's what the old legends say, and I'm starting to believe them. We have to go through it again to get to the other side. This isn't our world. We're in the world of the dead. My mouth dropped open. A shiver shook my whole body.
Dr. D is a scientist. I knew he never believed any of this stuff.
But we had all seen it with our own eyes.
That's why the pirates came to life? Sheena asked.
Dr. D nodded. And that's why in over 200 years no one has ever found the Scarlet Skull. It lies in the realm of the dead. And we will too, unless we can travel back through that cloud.
The Cassandra roared forward. Above us, a pale full moon drifted low over the ocean.
Were we traveling in the right direction? Was there a way back to our world?
We didn't speak. We stared straight ahead. The pale moonlight made the waves glimmer gray and dark green.
And then, suddenly, the moon vanished. The light died. The water faded to black. Total darkness, a thick, choking blackness. I tried to speak, but the darkness swallowed all sound.
We found it, I thought. We found the black cloud, and we're sailing through it.
When a full white moon finally appeared in the sky, all three of us cheered. We hugged one another, laughing and shouting, and we did a wild happy dance on the deck. It was the best celebration of my life.
The treasure, Dr. D cried. We're safe now. Let's check it out.
I led the way down the steps to the cabin and gasped in shock.
Gone, I cried. The chest, it's gone.
Dr. D scratched his head.
Oh well, he said. We came back safe, but empty-handed.
Just a typical day in the life of the undersea mutant, I thought.
And then I spotted something sparkle on the cabin floor.
The skull, the red jeweled skull.
Check it out, I shouted. We didn't come back empty-handed. I reached down to pick it up.
Billy, don't, Sheena cried. Don't touch it. Did you forget? It bites.
Don't be crazy, I said. We're back in the land of the living. Now it's just a plain, ordinary jewel.
I picked it up and opened my mouth in a deafening howl of agony. Yow! It bit me! It bit me!
Sheena leaped back in horror and screamed at the top of her lungs.
I laughed and tossed the big jewel from hand to hand.
Just kidding, I said. This time, I really gotcha, Sheena.
I handed the Scarlet Skull to Dr. D.
Guess this adventure is over, I said.
Guess it is, he replied. I'm going to radio the base and let them know we're okay.
We followed him up to the control cabin. He switched on the radio and turned a few dials.
Dr. D to base, he said into the microphone. Dr. D to base, can anyone hear me?
We heard a crackling sound. And then, from the speaker, we heard low voices.
The bones they crack, the bones they creep, to men come alive in the briny deep. You ended our death, you ended our sleep, the men come alive in the briny deep.
Horrorland.
The Invitation.
Dear Billy and Sheena Deep, you are in deep trouble now. Don't scream, but you have won a free week-long stay at Horrorland Theme Park, the scariest place on Earth. Bring your parents, bring your swimsuits and your diving gear, and be sure to bring some shark food, like your hands and feet.
We've enclosed free passes to our Hungry Crocs piggyback ride, where having fun is a snap. And you'll enjoy a visit to the Bat Barn Cafe. Join our thirsty vampires there for a warm drink. You don't need a ticket for the 20-mile swim for your life ride. We know you'll find it breathtaking. Your luxury room at the Stagger Inn offers 24-hour tomb service. Oops, of course we mean room service. Come, be our guest. We look forward to scaring you. Please RSVP to Die Quickly, Guest Relations.
Chapter 1. My sister Sheena and I were thrilled. Sheena was so excited about going to Horrorland, she was nice to me for a whole week. A lot of our friends had been there, and they told us all about it. They said it was the most awesome park on Earth. Sheena and I spent the morning just walking around the park, taking it all in. Believe it or not, the first thing I wanted to do was go on the bottomless canoe ride. I know. Sheena and I just had a horrifying time on the water. I guess that's one reason we were so happy to be in a place where the scares weren't real. But we never made it to the bottomless canoe. After lunch, we trotted through the hotel lobby and saw two very unhappy girls at the front desk. They were about our age. Both were tall and thin with coppery hair. One wore a pale green t-shirt over white tennis shorts. The other wore a short red and yellow sundress.
"But that's impossible!"
the girl in the sundress cried. She pounded her hand on the front desk. The horror behind the desk shrugged.
"Go figure."
"That's what you told us the last time," the girl cried. "It has to be a mistake."
Sheena and I stopped to watch. What was their problem? The girls stepped away from the desk. One of them was trembling. The other one tried to comfort her.
"Of course it's a mistake," she said.
Sheena can never resist trouble. She pulled me over to the two girls.
"What's wrong?"
she asked. They both jumped. I guess we startled them.
"My parents are missing,"
the one in the sundress said.
"No big deal," Sheena said. "Our parents are missing too."
They both gasped.
"Yeah," I added. "Who needs parents?"
I meant it as a joke. You know, trying to get them to lighten up, but they didn't laugh. They told us their names, Brittany Crosby and Molly Malloy.
"Your parents are missing too? For real?"
Brittany asked.
"Nothing is real here," I said.
We led them farther away from the dude behind the front desk.
"Don't be upset," Sheena said. "Our family checked in this morning. Outside my room, I heard some horrors talking in the hall. They said they always sneak the parents away to a hotel of their own."
"They did it to us," I said. "We went to our parents' room, and they were gone."
Molly shook her head.
"You mean it's a joke?"
she asked.
"And then the horrors lie and say your parents checked out and went home without you?"
Sheena nodded.
"They do it to all the kids. It's one of their favorite scares. It's like everything else here, a big fake."
Brittany let out a sigh.
"I knew my parents wouldn't just leave," she said.
"You've never been here before?" I asked.
Brittany and Molly shook their heads.
"Brittany got a special invitation," Molly said. "We were totally psyched."
"Us too," I said.
I could see Brittany was still worrying about something.
"My dad left his new digital camera in their room," she said.
She pulled it out of her bag.
"Can't you just return it when you see him?" I asked.
"You don't understand," Brittany said. "He left a picture in it. It was crazy, a picture of Slappy."
"Who?"
Sheena and I both asked at once.
"A ventriloquist's dummy," Molly said.
"From back home,"
Brittany added.
"No way that picture could be in the camera. No way Slappy could be here in Horrorland."
I stared at them. Brittany was trembling. Molly looked really upset, too.
"A ventriloquist's dummy? What's the big deal?"
"Can we see it?"
Sheena asked.
"Show us."
Again, Brittany glanced at Molly. They were definitely stressed. I figured there was something about this dummy they weren't telling us. Brittany raised the camera and clicked it on. She pressed a button and squinted at the view screen.
weird, she muttered.
Molly grabbed Brittany's arm.
What's wrong?
Brittany pressed the button again, then again.
The photo is gone, she said. No, wait.
She let out a gasp. She held the camera up to her friend.
I don't believe it, Molly. Look.
Sheena and I edged up behind Molly so we could see the photo too. I squinted at the little screen.
And there we were in the photo. Brittany, Molly, and Sheena and me. And the dummy was standing right behind us.
Chapter 2.
How did you take this picture of us?
Sheena asked Brittany.
The camera was in your bag.
Sheena had her face all scrunched up, the way she does when she's puzzled. Brittany didn't answer. She stared at the screen. She was breathing really hard. She looked totally frightened. She glanced all around the lobby as if that dummy could be hiding in any corner. Imagine being afraid of an old ventriloquist's dummy. Finally, Molly took the camera from her.
It must be some kind of Horrorland trick, she said softly. Forget about it. We came here to have fun.
You got that right, I said. Here we are in the most awesome theme park on Earth. Let's go out and go crazy.
I think I'm already going crazy, Brittany muttered.
She shuddered. Then she tucked the camera into her bag.
You're right. It's some kind of joke. Let's try to have some fun.
The two girls followed Sheena and me out into the park. It was a sunny, breezy day. Zombie Plaza was crowded with families hurrying in all directions. I heard screams and laughter all around. A horror walked by carrying a bunch of helium balloons, all black. His purple tail bounced up and down as he struggled to hold onto the long strings in the strong gusts of wind.
How about a balloon?
He asked, stepping in front of us.
What color would you like?
Black. Before we could answer, a blast of wind sent him stumbling away. A female horror came by, wearing a black and white signboard. The big letters on the front read, Fun, Thrills, The Free Fall Bungee Ride. The sign on her back read, One-Way Tickets Only. She stopped and called to the four of us.
Wanna try it? It doesn't hurt at all.
Until you land. We laughed. I could see Brittany and Molly were starting to cheer up.
My friend Jason back home said we had to try the bottomless canoe ride, Brittany said. He said you get really wet.
Sheena and I were just talking about that ride, I said. Brittany pointed across the plaza.
It's over there on the other side of Quicksand Beach.
Yo, Quicksand Beach, yes, I cried. I pumped my fists in the air. We've got to try that first. Think they have real quicksand? Sheena gave me a shove.
Haven't you had enough sand traps?
There's no such thing as enough, I said. I took off, running toward the big sign that read, Quicksand Beach, sink or sink. As we ran closer, I could see kids up to their waists in the sand. They were screaming and frantically struggling to climb out. I knew it had to be totally awesome. We stepped up to the entrance booth. Sheena held back.
Billy, you're totally nuts. I can't believe you want to do this after what we went through with that sand pit.
This time it's just a joke, I replied. A horror leaned out of the booth. He asked our shoe sizes. Then he pulled out four pairs of blue rubber shoes and set them on the counter.
These are for walking on the quicksand, he said. Of course, you won't walk very far.
Molly tugged nervously at a strand of her hair.
What happens when we sink?
She asked him. He handed her a pair of shoes.
If you go under, hold your breath as long as you can, he said. Sometimes it helps.
Chapter 3. We stepped out onto the wet yellow sand. Molly grabbed my arm.
He was joking, right?
Everything is a joke here, remember? I said. I took five or six steps. The rubber shoes made a squish, squish, squish sound. Clumps of sand stuck to the soles. Quicksand Beach was a large square area of sand facing a tiny green pond. It was kind of like a big sandbox. The beach was fenced off on three sides to keep innocent people from wandering onto it, I guessed.
It's so soft and mushy, it's hard to balance,
Molly said. She had her arms stuck out at her sides like she was walking on a tightrope.
It's like walking on pudding, she said. It's kind of quiet here,
Brittany said. I gazed around. The kids we saw earlier were gone. We were the only ones on the beach now. Squish, squish.
Whoa!
I let out a shout as I felt myself start to sink. The shoes were stuck in the mucky, wet sand. In seconds, my ankles disappeared. Then the sand rose up like a goopy ocean wave over my calves.
Help!
Sheena twisted and squirmed, but she started to sink too. It took only a few seconds for her knees to disappear. She was dropping fast. I turned my head and saw Brittany and Molly waving their arms frantically. They'd already sunk to their waists.
Are we having fun yet? Sheena asked.
I laughed. It feels kind of weird, doesn't it? It's so lumpy and wet. I didn't expect it to be so hot.
I don't like this, Molly cried. It's like sinking in vomit.
Thanks for sharing that, I groaned. I saw a human hand poking up from below the surface. I had to study it twice. It looked so real. Sheena slapped my shoulder and pointed.
Check those out, she said.
I followed her gaze and saw yellow bones, skeletons of small animals, trapped in the quicksand.
Those skeletons, Sheena said. They look like rat skeletons.
Totally fake, I said. But whoa! I sank to my armpits in the mucky sand. I had to raise my arms high to keep them above the surface. I tried to kick my legs, tried to raise my knees. But I had sunk too deep. Every move I made forced me to sink lower.
Help!
I heard Brittany's shrill cry.
Isn't anyone going to rescue us? Yeah, who's going to pull us out?
Molly's voice shook. I felt myself drop. The sand rose up to my chin. A sharp, sour smell invaded my nostrils.
Billy, help! Sheena whispered. This isn't fun. We're gonna go under. Isn't anyone watching us?
Molly sputtered. I started to answer and got a mouthful of sticky, wet sand. When I finished coughing and choking, I heard the voices. Low voices. Nearby. Low voices of men chanting in unison.
The bones, they crack. The bones, they creep. The men come alive in the briny deep. You ended our death. You ended our sleep. The men come alive in the briny deep.
No!
I heard Sheena moan beside me. I tried to turn to her, but my face was sinking into the wet sand. My brain whirred. I knew Captain Ben's dead pirates couldn't be here in Horrorland. No way. So how could we hear the same frightening chant, the same low voices? I sucked in a deep breath and held it. The hot sand covered my nose. Everything went black as my head sank under the surface. Can't see, can't breathe. And the chanting voices were all I could hear. Chapter 4. Down. Down. I held my breath till my lungs felt about to burst. My heart pounded in my chest. Isn't anyone going to rescue us? And then, with a loud whoosh, I was pulled down hard. The heavy sand fell away. I could breathe again. I could see, too. See that I was surrounded in darkness. Faster. I was sliding on my back, straight down. It took me a few seconds to realize I was in a narrow glass tube, smooth like a steep water slide. I kept my arms pressed close to my sides as I shot down, harder, harder, so hard and fast, and now it shot me back up again. Wow, an awesome ride! I sailed up high and burst through an opening back into bright sunlight. I could see the whole park down below. I saw the towers of the Stagger Inn, a tiny graveyard surrounded by woods, the bobbing black balloons in Zombie Plaza. This is like flying, I thought. And then I let out a cry as I was pulled down into the tube again. I slid back into a cold darkness. A heartbeat later, strong hands grabbed my ankles. A grinning horror pulled me out of the chute and set me on hard, solid ground. My legs felt shaky. My heart was still racing. The horror raised an air blower, like a big electric hairdryer, and blew all the sand off me. 2 seconds later, Sheena came shooting out. Her hair stuck out wild around her head, as if she'd been struck by lightning. She had a huge grin on her face.
Awesome! She shouted, pumping her fist in the air. First, it's terrifying, then awesome!
The horror blew the sand off her. Then we both started laughing and dancing around. It was such an insane thing to be sinking in sand and then flying in the sky. Hey, after a few seconds, I stopped my crazy dance. I turned back to the chutes. Where are Brittany and Molly? Smoothing her hair down with both hands, Sheena stepped over to me. We both stared at the bottoms of the slides.
Oh no, they went under the same time we did, I cried. So where are they? Sheena asked.
I had a sudden heavy feeling in my stomach. Something's gone terribly wrong, I said.
They must be trapped under the quicksand.
Chapter 5. I ran to the horror. He was sitting on a low stool, hunched over a copy of Scary People magazine.
Did you see our friends? I cried.
The horror shook his head. He didn't look up from the magazine.
But, I sputtered, they were with us. They sank in the quicksand with us.
Didn't see them, the horror muttered.
He flicked a bee off his purple sleeve, and it fluttered to the ground.
But they had to come out here, right? I asked. They couldn't disappear into thin air.
He turned a page of the magazine. Finally, he looked up at me.
Beats me, kid, he said. I only work here.
But,
I stammered again. He got a lopsided grin on his face.
Why don't you try Lost and Found, he said.
He chuckled to himself and lowered his face to the magazine. Big help, I muttered. I hurried back to Sheena. She was still staring at the slide.
It's got to be just another Horrorland scare, she said. They both probably slid out somewhere else. That dude is just trying to scare us.
I glanced all around Quicksand Beach. No sign of the two girls.
Maybe you're right, I said. Maybe they're waiting for us at the exit.
I turned and began to lead the way out. But I stopped when I heard a low voice. A raspy voice. Faint but clear. So close to my ear it gave me a chill.
Ahoy, mate. Do ye want to see your friends again?
I turned to Sheena.
Did you hear that?
Her eyes were bulging and her mouth had dropped open.
Captain Ben? She whispered.
Impossible. We both knew it was impossible. I whirled around in a circle. No one in sight. Where did the voice come from? And the pirates chanting, too.
Were there hidden speakers in the sand?
Sheena shuddered.
Someone here knows what happened to us this summer, she said in a trembling voice. Someone is trying to scare us for real.
Chapter 6. We started to run. We had to get away from there. I kept expecting to hear Captain Ben again, or the frightening chants of his men. Brittany and Molly weren't waiting for us at the exit. We gazed up and down Quicksand Beach. 4 or 5 kids were sinking in the sand, laughing as they struggled to climb out. I led the way onto Zombie Plaza. I shielded my eyes from the bright sunlight and searched for the two girls. No sign of them.
Weird, Sheena muttered. Maybe they're back at the hotel?
Maybe, I said. I didn't know what to believe. A horror in a black apron stood behind a little green and purple cart. She held up a sugar cone.
You two look like you could use some ice cream, she said.
She was right. My throat was dry. I had hot beads of sweat running down my forehead.
What flavors do you have? I asked.
She opened the lid and peered into the cart.
I've got liver and onions, she said. That's my most popular. And let me see, I've still got some calf's brain cookie dough left.
Yuck.
Do you have vanilla? I asked.
She nodded.
Yes, I have vanilla split pea onion dip.
No thanks, I said.
Sheena grinned at me. Dare you to try the liver.
No way, I said. I started to walk away, but she blocked the way.
Thought you're totally brave now. Go ahead, try it.
The horror scooped a big ball of ice cream onto the top of a cone. She handed it to me.
Liver on a garlic cone.
My stomach gurgled. The ice cream was a sick green brown. I saw big lumps in it.
Hold your nose while you swallow it, the horror said. It helps a little.
My hand trembled. I held the cone away from me, but Sheena pushed it up to my face.
Go ahead, Billy, lick it. Be brave, take a lick.
I held my breath. Then I stuck my tongue out and took a tiny lick. Oh, my stomach gurgled again.
Hey,
I took another lick, tasted it, swallowed. Then I burst out laughing.
It's chocolate.
The horror began to laugh, too.
Welcome to Horrorland, she said.
Sheena and I shared the cone. Then we started to the hotel to find Brittany and Molly. I saw a banner strung across the plaza. The Playpen.
That's the games arcade, I said. You know, all those carnival games? It's on the way. Let's check it out.
But what about the two girls? Sheena asked.
They'll be at the hotel, for sure, I said. I just want to see what games they have here.
A sign over the gate read, It's not whether you win or lose, but how much you scream your head off. I saw two long rows of game booths with a wide aisle in between. The aisle was jammed with people eager to play. They all seemed to be having a lot of fun.
These games look awesome, I said. Check that one out.
Tarantula races. We jogged closer. Four kids lined up in front of the booth. A horror placed a live tarantula on each kid's head.
Don't let it fall off, the horror said. Last kid to get bitten wins.
Sheena rolled her eyes.
Not my idea of a fun time, she said.
We have a winner,
a horror shouted from a game booth down the aisle.
You win a live rattlesnake.
People laughed and cheered. Across the aisle stood a game called Head Toss. Two girls held real-looking human heads in their hands. The idea was to toss the head onto a tall metal spike. If it stuck on the spike, you won a prize. We watched them toss their heads one at a time. The heads bounced off the spikes and rolled away. The girls walked off, shrugging their shoulders. A boy about our age stepped up to the booth. The horror handed him a head with short blonde hair.
Do we know that boy? He looks familiar, Sheena said.
She pulled me closer. The kid was tall and athletic-looking. He had wavy brown hair and brown eyes. He had a sleeveless black t-shirt pulled down over faded jeans. I snickered.
You just think he's cute.
He is cute, Sheena said. Look, is he smiling at me? He has a great smile.
He isn't smiling at you. The ugly head is smiling at you, I said. Why don't you go give it a big kiss? Sheena slapped my arm.
How funny are you? Not.
The boy raised the head in one hand. But before he tossed it, he reached into his jeans pocket. I thought he was reaching for a token. The games all required copper-colored Horrorland tokens. But no, he pulled out a small gray card. He tapped the card twice on the side of the booth.
What's that about? I whispered.
Sheena shrugged.
Maybe it's some kind of good luck charm, she said.
The boy tossed the head. It slid onto a spike, spun a few times, and stayed on.
A winner! The horror shouted. Hey, everybody, we have a winner!
Sheena and I followed the boy down the row of carnival booths. He stopped at one with a red sign. Spin the Wheel of Misfortune. The big wheel was covered with bad things that could happen to a person. Headache, itchy where you can't scratch, spider on your tongue, beheading. Only two squares on the wheel read winner.
No way he can win this one, I muttered. Why does he even want to try it? You can only lose.
The kid stepped up to the wheel. But again, he didn't put in a token. Instead, he pulled out that gray card. He tapped it twice on the side of the booth. Then he slid it back in his pocket. He spun the wheel hard. Click, click, click. It went around and around for at least a minute. And it stopped on winner. The horror scratched his head.
I don't believe it, he murmured. Our first winner.
This dude can't lose, I said to Sheena. And did I mention he's cute, too? She said, grinning. We followed him to a game called Vampire Darts. The sign read, "Send a silver dart into the vampire's heart." The horror handed the kid a long silver dart. The target was a tiny red heart on the back wall of the booth. The kid tapped the little gray card twice on the side of the booth. Then he aimed and tossed the dart. And three guesses what happened. Yes, winner again. This is too good to be true, I said. And maybe it was, because everything changed all at once. The horror in the dart booth didn't hand him a prize. Instead, he signaled to two horrors across the aisle. The horrors wore black and orange monster police uniforms with big silver badges on their chests. They turned instantly and began moving toward him. The boy took off running.
"Stop right there!" one of the horrors shouted. "Stop! Now!"
They pushed past a group of kids and hurtled after the boy. The boy ran toward us. His brown hair was flying up behind him. I could see the look of panic on his face. "Hey!" I cried out as he bumped up against me. He shoved something into my hand. "Hide it!" he gasped. "Quick, hide it!" He didn't stop. He zigzagged through the crowd, down the long carnival aisle. The two monster police tromped past Sheena and me, running hard. People screamed and jumped out of their way. I opened my hand and studied the object the boy gave me. It was a gray plastic card, a room key card. I shoved it into my jeans pocket and kept my hand around it. "Oh no!" Sheena cried out as the two monster police caught up to the boy. One held him, the other one searched his pockets. "This is sick! What do they want?" Sheena cried. I knew what they were searching for, the key card. But why? What was the big deal about a plastic card? "Uh-oh," I gasped. One of the two cops suddenly turned. He narrowed his eyes at Sheena and me. Did he see the boy hand the card to me? The cop started toward me, moving fast. His partner let go of the boy and followed. "They're coming over here," Sheena cried. "What do they want? What should we do?" Chapter 7. Sheena and I pushed through a group of teenagers in front of the dart booth. Then we lowered our heads and ran. I jumped over a baby stroller, ignored the startled cries of the mom and dad, and kept going. Whoa! I skidded to a stop in front of a 10-foot-tall gorilla. A man in a costume? I didn't wait around to figure it out. The gorilla let out a roar. I squeezed right through his legs and took off. Our sneakers pounded on the concrete. Sheena and I darted across Zombie Plaza. I kept glancing back. No sign of the two monster police. Did they lose us in the crowd? Gasping for breath, I slipped into the hotel. I held the door for Sheena. We ran through the lobby into the elevator. We didn't say a word till we reached my room. Then, we both collapsed onto the long couch, panting, groaning, wiping sweat off our foreheads.
"Oh, wow," Sheena muttered. "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. What was that about?"
"They were looking for this," I said. I reached into my pocket and pulled out the plastic card. "That boy, he gave it to me when he ran past."
"What is it?"
Sheena grabbed it from my hand and studied it. "The card he kept tapping on the booths. Weird. Look, it has words on it." She handed it back. I turned it over in my hand. "The letter P," I said. "The rest has all been rubbed off." Sheena scrunched up her face. "P? What does it stand for? Playpen? The name of the game arcade?" "Beats me." I shoved it into my pocket. "He told me to hide it." Sheena's mouth dropped open.
"Billy, we forgot about Brittany and Molly. How could we?" she cried. I hope they came back to the hotel."
I picked up the room phone. "I'll call the hotel operator," I said. "See if I can get their room."
"I'm really worried," Sheena said, hugging herself. "I hope they're okay."
"Me too," I said. I pushed 0 and waited for the operator to come on. I heard 2 rings, then a click. Then, I pulled the phone away from my ear.
"It's just a man laughing," I told Sheena. "Listen."
I shoved the phone to her ear. What a totally nasty, evil laugh, Sheena exclaimed. She slammed the receiver down, then she picked it up again. Let's try another number.
She pushed the number for room service.
I felt a chill run down my back. Do you remember that laugh? I asked. Sheena gasped. It sounds like Captain Ben. She pushed zero again, and we both listened. The phone fell out of Sheena's hand. She started to tremble. She grabbed my arm. Billy, she whispered, let's get out of here.
Chapter 8. We stepped out into the long, dark hall. I pulled the door shut behind us. The evil laughter still rang in my ears. Every time I heard it, I felt cold all over.
Where are we going? I asked. To the front desk, Sheena said. We've got to find out about Brittany and Molly before we leave.
We made our way quickly down the hall. The elevator doors creaked open, and a boy stepped out.
The boy who gave me the weird key card. Hey!
He let out a startled cry.
You guys again. You're on the 13th floor too? They let you go, I cried.
That was totally disturbing, he said. Do you believe that? What was their problem? He said his name was Matt Daniels. I handed him back his card.
Why did those monster police want it so badly? I asked.
No clue, he said. He turned to Sheena. Sorry if I got you two in trouble.
No problem, Sheena said. Her cheeks turned pink.
She really did have a crush on him.
Where'd you get that card?
Matt held it in front of him.
It was way weird. A horror came up to me on the plaza. He shoved it into my hand. He looked really nervous. He said to guard it. He said it would take me places. I squinted at it.
Take you where?
Matt shrugged. Beats me. The horror took off before I could ask him anything. I tried using it on those games. I think it helped me win, and I didn't even need tokens.
That is totally disturbing, I said. Matt tucked the card into his pocket.
I didn't want to give it to those cops. The horror told me to guard it.
And I want to see what else it can do.
We're going to the front desk, Sheena told him. Two girls we met, Brittany and Molly, they went with us to Quicksand Beach, but they didn't come out. We want to see if they came back here.
She flashed Matt a smile.
Want to come with us?
Matt shrugged.
Sure, he said.
Creaking and groaning, the elevator carried us down to the first floor.
My room is awesome, Matt said as we waited for the doors to open.
And it's free. Believe that? I got some kind of free invitation. I don't know why.
So did we, I said. It's like a big mystery. How did we get picked?
Brittany and Molly, too, Sheena said. I guess we won some kind of contest, but Billy and I don't remember entering any contest.
Me either, Matt muttered. Weird. On the first floor, we stepped out into a long hall. The walls were covered in fake cobwebs, and giant spiders bobbed and spun from webs dangling from the ceiling lights. We passed a row of rooms, then turned a corner.
I think the front desk is that way, I said, pointing.
But Sheena and Matt weren't listening to me. They were staring into a wide glass window. I saw the word cafe in big red letters on a sign above the window.
Oh, wow,
Sheena cried. She pulled me to the window. I peered into the cafe. It's Brittany and Molly, I cried.
The two girls sat across from each other. They were at a little round table in front of a huge mirror that hung on the wall. They had tall ice cream sodas in front of them, but neither girl had taken a sip.
Why do they look so sad? I asked.
Sheena pounded on the glass and shouted,
Hey, Brittany! Molly!
The two girls stared at each other. They didn't move. Sheena pounded harder on the window.
They can't hear us, she said. Let's go in.
I grabbed the door and tried to pull it open. It didn't budge. I tried pushing it. No way. I shoved harder. No. I pressed my face against the glass to get a better look inside. No other entrance. No other windows.
Why can't they hear us? Sheena cried.
She pounded on the window with her fists. She cupped her hands around her mouth and screamed their names. The two girls didn't move. I pounded on the door. Then I kicked the door. It made a thunderous bang. The girls sat, staring at their ice cream sodas.
"What's going on?" I cried. "Why can't they hear us?"
Chapter 9. Sheena didn't give up. My sister never gives up. She pounded on the window and shouted their names.
"What's that?"
Matt asked. He pointed to a metal box next to the door.
"Check it out. It has a slot in it. Maybe our room keys open the door."
I pulled my purple and green key card from my wallet. I shoved it into the slot and tried the door. Nope, it didn't budge. I had an idea.
"Matt," I said, "try the secret card. Maybe you need that weird card to get into this restaurant."
"Worth a try," Matt said. He pushed the gray card into the slot. A green light flashed on. The door buzzed. He pushed it open.
"Yes," he cried. "We're in. We..."
I followed him into the cafe and stopped short. I let out a startled cry.
"Hey!"
We were standing in an empty room.
"Where'd they go?" I cried.
"The place is totally empty," Matt said. I walked over to Brittany and Molly's table. No ice cream sodas. The napkins were neatly folded. The silverware hadn't been used. "Weird," I muttered. I turned and gazed into the mirror. It covered the entire back wall. My reflection and Matt's reflection stared back at us. One reflection was missing.
"Sheena," I called, "where are you? Where did you go?"
"Don't be funny," Sheena said. "I'm standing right next to you."
I spun around. My breath caught in my throat. "But I can't see you," I cried.
"Don't be stupid," Sheena said. "This is no time for dumb jokes."
"I can't see you either, Sheena," Matt said. "It's not a joke. Look."
He pointed to the mirror. I turned and looked again, and saw the two of us in the mirror. My reflection stood next to Matt's reflection. Beside me, I heard Sheena gasp.
"Oh, no! I'm invisible!"